it's just a rap thing. And we're back with episode 34 of The Sounds of Struggle. And we're doing a little bit of all right.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah. So we had a weekend, didn't we?
We had a time.
Yeah. So should I let you do the honors since you're the one who made the big splash?
Into a pool.
Yeah.
A pool of anger and remorse. That was a good time, though.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, you are now listening to the CWC champion's best friend who just went down and made a debut at CWC.
And did you ever?
It was a little bit of all right.
Yeah.
Dylan Stone, I heard he just got out of hospital after we mucked him up something fierce.
Well, it's not my fault, you little bitch.
No, I know it's not your fault, but it's our fault he's in the hospital, and that makes me laugh.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's definitely struggle-icious.
Biatch.
Yeah, and, yeah, so, Dylan Stone tried to play some tomfoolery and tried to, use the,
some shenanigans, if
yeah,
you
yeah, tried to use a second ref to beat me.
Yeah.
To no avail.
Well, it's his own damn fault for taking out the first ref.
Yeah, right? I mean, ref beater?
Yes.
Huh.
He beats more refs than...
He literally tried to fight the law, and the law won.
Yeah, he fought the law, and the law won.
In the sense of referee Derek Law. Dylan Stone, you took him out. And Derek Law...
Took him out harder than Ray Rice takes out his wife.
He took out Derek Law way worse than we take out every tag team in professional wrestling.
Agreed.
Yeah.
He took him out worse almost than we took him out.
Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah.
Almost.
We took him out way worse than I beat Jack Pryde. And I beat Jack Pryde.
Out of a contract.
Yeah. A lot of times.
All the times.
Yeah. I mean, what? I've been in CWC now for 11 months. I think I've pinned Jack Pryde 4 times.
You think he'd learn?
No shit.
Speaking of which, that leads to what you have coming up in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
At CWC, King of the Mountain.
Yes, but let's finish off with Aftermath.
Okay.
Because Derek Law, awoken, because as I found out, Dylan Stone does not hit that hard.
No.
So, I mean, but Derek Law's a little guy, so, I mean, he was out for a bit, but saw my foot on the rope, made the right call as the match, the official assigned to the match.
You know what? It's about time a referee did the right thing.
Right?
It's refreshing.
I mean, now we just need Maloney to actually ref that way, and we'll be on our way.
I'd like to see him actually get through the ropes. You know, that'd be funny.
But needless to say, overturned the decision. Did the right thing by continuing the match. A lot of refs would just disqualify or end it right there. Derek Law did the right thing and continued the match.
Yes.
And well, everyone's...
It was more of like a restart, wasn't it?
No, he continued it. Because
okay.
A foot on the rope negates a pin, therefore the match continues.
Okay, fair enough.
So, I mean... But, as this whole thing's going on, and here is where everyone's like, Parrish, you didn't win nicely. Because at this point, that ruling to continue the match hadn't been announced yet.
Yes.
So therefore, the match at that point was kind of paused.
Yes.
And that is when you decided to hit the maniacal DDT.
Yes.
Onto Dylan Stone. And everybody wants to say that's not fair, but guess what? That wasn't in the match.
To be fair, he hit the referee. I was just trying to save the referee some heartache.
But also to be technical, when you hit him with the DDT, that wasn't during the match.
No, that would be like...
So what you did wasn't illegal.
Yeah.
So therefore, after the DDT, that is when they continued the match.
Officially.
Yeah.
I want to add that. Officially.
Yeah. So officially the match was paused. Manai comes in, does a little bit of alright maneuver.
It was a little bit of alright.
And then match continues, and then the parachute on apron finished Dylan Stone off. 1, 2, 3. I remain champion. We then beat up Dylan Stone because we can a little bit more after the match. And then Jack Pride decides, hey, I want to be irrelevant even though I lost to a manager about 40 minutes ago because, you know, Dylan Stone and I went about 35.
Because you're the main event.
Yeah, because, you know, we're good. And then all of a sudden his little buddy, the commissioner, got fired because he doesn't know how to play by the rules. Decided to throw his weight around on his last day.
I don't understand why he got fired, but the contract expires at midnight. That just seems bass-ackwards, you know? It's just more management and companies that just don't know what they're doing. A fired means you're done, you're gone, boom. Give him a severance package after, but he's gone, can't do anything else. But anyways, continue.
I know. I mean, and they wanted to say the Sud Stable didn't know what they were doing. But come on, man.
Sud Stable might not have, but Tag Struggle certainly did.
Right. So, anyway, he makes a ladder match, which I don't even think is a good idea, because...
What are you in ladder matches?
I dominate ladder matches.
Let's say, how many have you been in?
8.
How many have you won?
7.
Who'd you lose to?
I was in BC. It was a Fatal 4-Way, TLC. I technically didn't lose.
Okay, so let's put it this way. You have not lost a ladder match in Alberta.
Or Saskatchewan, or Ontario... Or Timbuktu, or Partsukanon.
And you lost BC only because of you being on BC time.
No, you know what? I'll give Colin Cutler his due. He's a great wrestler. He won fair and square.
Oh, Colin Cutler was in the match. Well,
yeah,
that's like, you know, 6-1, half dozen the other. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose.
The match was Colin Cutler versus me versus Bobby Sharp versus Matt Ecstatic for the Cruiserweight title in All-Star Wrestling.
You know what? There are some good competitors in that.
And Matt Ecstatic.
Yeah. So, I mean, that, honestly, you can hold your head high on that one. But other than that, you are undefeated.
More.
Especially one-on-one matches.
Yeah. Especially in CWC. Nobody's beat me straight up in CWC.
Well, good luck, Jack Pride.
Which, by the way, you know what pisses me off?
A lot of things.
Jack Pride interferes in last month's show. For CWC. Okay. Nobody even says anything there. And he was eliminated. And that was during the match. That was illegal interference.
Yes.
What you did wasn't interference because the match technically wasn't going on. Therefore, what you did was not illegal. And the people are complaining about what you did and how I won. But they're not saying anything about last month.
You know why?
It smells like a little bit of hypocrisy right there.
You know why?
They're jealous.
Very much so.
They are jealous.
Very much so. Yeah.
Simple as that.
So what you're saying is, you're going to be in 2 ladder matches again this year.
Right. I mean, this Saturday is Monster Pro Wrestling, Renegade Memorial Tag Team Tournament.
Yes, it is.
The first ever, because we unveil the new Renegade Memorial Tag Team Championship titles.
That'd be nice to have those.
Right? They're huge, too.
Huge, yes. Like our egos.
Exactly.
And my balls.
And my wart on my hip.
You gotta get that checked out.
I did. They just said it was tricolicious.
Bitch.
Yeah. Certified.
Very good. Yeah. Huh.
You are confused right now.
No, it's gotta be... There's something wrong with that word. But anyways, continue on.
You want to see what that looks like.
I've seen it. Yeah. Trust me, I've seen it.
I was going to say.
It's not healthy. But you know what? If they say it's fine, it's fine. Whatever. Anyways. So we're gonna
looks dapper, though.
I guess. That's what you're into. I don't know. But anyway, so we have the ladder match, which, you know, when we win that tournament.
Yeah, because apparently we have to wrestle the Weapons of Mass Seduction in the opening round.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Prepare to lose, boys.
If we want to talk about things that got beat, Jack Pride, Weapons, I mean, they don't win a lot either.
Didn't they win the tag titles almost by accident from Onslaught?
Yeah. I mean, that speaks for itself. But then they're also the tag team that was stupid enough last year to enter the tag team tournament, even though by rules they could have gone directly to the final.
Yeah.
And then they lost in the opening.
Yeah.
Yeah, not too smart.
And for anybody who's wondering about this year, yes, we should be held out for the finals. But MPW management and their infinite wisdom have decided, hey, we're going to hold the titles up so We think there we don't recognize anybody, which is stupid because Tag Struggle has the titles. I have one at home right now.
Yeah, you know what? You know what I'm thinking? Because since there's going to be new tag team titles,
yes,
we should just leave those ones at home. Not even give them back. Because they're probably going to ask for them back. We should just leave them at home. Keep them.
That's a good idea.
Frame them. I can frame it up with the CNWA provincial title. You can frame it up with the GDW tag team title.
I like it. I like it. Let's do that.
And then boom. We have a collage of straps, motherfuckers.
I agree. It's a little bit of all right.
Yeah.
Yes. But anyways, after all of that, you're going to have a ladder match against Jackie Boy Dependable Pride.
Yeah. Against Baby Boy Pride.
For the CWC title.
Which I don't even understand how he deserves one. I mean, what? Like, what match?
He lost to Skylar Paris Austin, so...
And then he lost to lost to me the month before.
Yeah, so give him a match.
Beat him with a pedigree.
Taught him how to play the game.
Yeah. And I didn't even have to screw the boss's wife.
Well, I mean... Give him a call. Give her a call. Give them a call.
Who are you going to call?
You.
Tag Struggle!
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
I like it.
Because we're real.
And spectacular.
Yay.
Yay. Anyway, that's all for this week. See you later.
Yeah. So, Saturday. This Saturday, August 5th.
August the 5th?
Yeah. Alberta F. Community Hall. Tickets still available. Contact, you know, your Tag Struggle brothers.
From other mothers.
And we're like no others.
For shothers. Whatever that means. I don't know. I don't speak Snoop Dogg.
Gee.
Word.
There's two of them in struggle. but tickets still events tickets available. Just contact either at Russell Maniac, at Chris Parrish, at Sean Martin's.
Or headline Sean Martin's if you're on the Instagram.
Right, Chris.Parrish.
Am I still Russell Maniac? I try to keep everything the same.
Yeah. But yeah, just, you know, hit us up. We'll hook you up. And then, this Saturday, we will ask MPW to shine them up, because when it comes to the Renegade Memorial Tag Team Titles, at the end of the night, we're going to hold them up, and then when it comes to them beers, we're going to drink them up. What up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's what's going on for the wrestling right now.
Yeah.
So,
well, for our wrestling.
Yeah, for us. I mean, of course. Why would we care about anybody else?
WWE?
That'd be selfish of us.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we talk about them, but I mean, you know, we indirectly watch it. But, I mean, directly, I mean, we don't really.
Oh, fair enough.
We don't really care, you know, if Roman Reigns' feelings are hurt because people blew him again or, you know.
Yeah, we don't give a damn.
Or Fenzo's feelings hurt because he got kicked out of the bus.
That is very funny. Should we jump
in? I mean, segue.
Yeah.
Enzo Amore got kicked off of a tour bus by Roman Reigns.
I guess Roman Reigns is really stepping into that My Yard gimmick.
Yeah. So, but you know what? I mean, this kind of, there's not a lot of people that, you know, tend to do well when they get kicked off of things. I mean, Miz got kicked out of the locker room.
Miz is the only one so far.
Yeah, Miz got
actually made a comeback.
Well, it's funny because Miz actually got kicked out of the locker room by Chris Benoit.
Yeah, I think I'd listen to him too.
Because
he might kill you.
Yeah. Da da na 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 na. But no, apparently he was eating Kentucky Fried Chicken over one of the officials. I believe it was it Scott Armstrong or Brad Armstrong? One of those.
Maybe, yeah.
Over the bag, and crumbs are falling off. Chris Benoit, who was very old school, said. Pretty much put the kibosh on that and kicked him out of due to lack of respect. And then, you know, when Chris Benoit left this world in the way that he did, we won't talk about it.
Yeah.
The Undertaker apparently brought the Miz back into the locker room. That is what the rumor of the story is.
That's interesting.
I mean, I wasn't there.
I've been hearing the same sentence that Enzo Amore has been also kicked out of the locker room.
Yeah, so...
So it's apparently, according to JBL, he has only ever heard of one person, which is The Miz, who's ever actually made it back in.
Yeah. There's been other incidents with other wrestlers being kicked out of locker rooms and stuff like that. My thing is, if you've played sports of any sort and you have to share, especially in a team game, and you got to share a locker room with other people, I mean, one, it takes a lot to be permanently booted out of that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think it's really, you got to check yourself after.
Because absolutely.
If you're becoming an issue towards the morale of an organization or a group of people, I mean,
you got to go.
Well, especially if you want to stay there.
Yeah.
Because if Enzo really wants to be there, and from what I sound like, a lot of people actually like him.
Apparently the problem is that the way he is when he's in the ring and on stage and doing his promos, I guess that's the way he is all the time. And that would get old really fast.
Well, apparently he just has no off switch.
Yeah. Which is apparent, and also a stripper at a strip club in Buffalo who recounted he apparently tried to get her to come home and do some sort of drug, which sounded like marijuana with her.
I think he wanted to show to her that his certified G wasn't soft.
Yes, and he was acting like an arrogant prick.
Or he wanted her to dress up like a schoolgirl and show her the 50 states and you can't teach that.
Probably.
I don't know. Yeah. But I mean, American strippers, can you really trust them, though?
Don't know, never met any.
I mean, the last thing you want, I guess, is to piss one off because they could be your lawyer, right? They're all going to law school.
Are they?
I don't know. Ones I met claim to be.
That's nice. Right? I bet you if we went back to where you were, you would still see them.
Yeah.
Law school's hard.
I'm sure they know how to get you off.
Get you off of something. Get you off reading the penal code.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I hope none of them are named Miranda. Just saying.
Or Amanda.
Or Cherry, because, I mean, that's overused.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where should we go next?
Did you watch Monday Night Raw?
Some of it.
Yeah.
It was on a little bit before, and then we'd put it on after the Bruno Mars concert, which was fantastic. I realize, though, I'm turning into an old man.
You are. I'm going to Metallica in a few weeks, so I'll let you know how not being an old man is.
No. Well, see, it wasn't old man because I'm going to the concert. That's fine. Actually, you have to be overall pretty damn young to go to that thing, apparently. Oh, I'm old because it was loud, and not because of the music. There's a lot of screaming girls that just annoyed me.
Well, yeah, they're screaming girls. They're annoying.
I realize that, yeah, I'm not... not.
That's why you're supposed to give them alcohol. They shut up.
I don't think they're... Most of them were legally allowed to drink, though.
Well, then you give them a... I don't know, like a Zac Efron shirt and they'll be quiet. I don't know.
I have a lot to learn, apparently.
I don't know.
Anyways. But no, I watched a little bit. Not a lot. But a little.
Was it a little bit of all right?
It was a little bit of all right. All right. So what were you saying about Raw?
No, well, I mean, I for one, I mean, it emanated from Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Steel City. The home of the Stanley Cup champions.
Yeah, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah. Pittsburgh Butt Pirates. I mean,
ass Pirates.
The Kraken.
Yeah.
Actually a player on the Pirates, by the way.
Hilarious.
But Brock Lesnar actually was there, and I guess that caught a lot of people by surprise.
I saw that and saw something about Paul Heyman saying that if at SummerSlam, if he loses the title, both Paul and Brock are going to leave WWE.
Which means, do you think, I mean, because he never said they were going to leave there permanently.
No.
Just like is this not a way of writing Brock off so he can go back to the UFC?
Well, he did get called out by Jon Jones after Jon Jones won.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't surprise me because they've already kind of both said that, yeah, we'll do it. Let's fight. So, I mean, yeah.
So, I mean, could this be a safe way of, okay, we'll take the title off Brock for now, but then later on, you know, Rumble time or whatever, you know.
Come back and win it.
Yeah, we'll bring back Lesnar in that capacity. Or is this just a big thing of getting the people to talk, expecting them to lose, and then he keeps it at SummerSlam.
Honestly, it could go either way.
It really can.
Because I can actually see them doing this and having him win and staying, but they're basically using this hype of Lesnar and Jones calling each other out to build a match. I could definitely see that.
Wouldn't you kind of want to see Brock Lesnar bring the Universal title down in a UFC fight?
That would be kind of sweet.
I mean, it'd be the same way as if you brought in, like, a UFC champion and they brought their UFC title on a Monday Night Raw or something.
You mean like what was supposed to happen in 2010? But then never did? I guess 2011? But then Brock Lesnar lost the title against The Undertaker?
Huh?
Well, allegedly it was supposed to happen that Brock Lesnar was supposed to be UFC heavyweight champion, and then Undertaker was supposed to be there, do a standoff after he won, and then it would lead to the
That thing. From what I heard, though, that was something that Brock Lesnar didn't know, and it was just something that, like, Taker was kind of, like, sent in. Like, A, Undertaker was always, and is always, a fan of MMA.
Yeah.
And was always, he's always been a friend of Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
So I think he wanted to do that one WrestleMania match with Brock Lesnar. And then the whole idea was to
end the streak.
I don't know if it was so much then, but I think it was so much of just, you know, Taker going to UFC and making it a publicity thing and trying to, you know, get his attention. And then I think it just took Lesnar off surprise because I don't think he knew what was going on.
Not to mention the fact he lost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did he lose that show?
He did.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's the one he lost to Velquez or whoever that's the title to.
Hmm. No, yeah, was it, Kane Velasquez.
Velasquez, that's it, yeah. Anyways, yeah, so,
No, it wasn't. Was it him?
Yeah.
Did he lose the title to him?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because he lost the two fights. Because then he got, Yeah, then he lost his next one, and then he kind of was done for a bit.
Yeah. Well, seeing as we're already talking about, UFC and whatnot... No. Did you see the UFC 214? I mean, we briefly touched on it, but...
John I didn't. Jones. We didn't see it because we had CWC. That, we were too busy stealing the show there.
Well, of course we were stealing everything there.
But yeah, I did end up watching like the highlights and some of the stuff. I haven't seen a lot of the fights, but...
All I know is that John Jones is now the... Was it light heavyweight champion?
Yeah, he reclaimed the light heavyweight championship.
Knocked Cormier out?
Yeah.
I know that Cyborg won her match.
Yeah, it became, I believe it was the new featherweight women's champion.
Yeah, and there was one more.
Tyrone Woodley.
Woodley retained.
Beat Damian Maia in a pretty boring fight.
Well, see, that's the thing. Dana White apparently was not happy with the fight because, as Woodley put it, it's his title. The other guy had to win. He doesn't have to. And why is he going to put himself in danger of losing if... He was already winning with the way he's fighting.
Well, here's an ironic look at this fight. Tyrone Woodley was scheduled to fight George St. Pierre had he won the fight.
Yeah.
And they were supposed to fight for the welterweight title.
Yeah.
Apparently, Dana White claimed that fight was too boring, and Woodley didn't go after the win to the extent of what he thought he should have, then said nobody wants to see Woodley... And GSP, and then made, I believe it's now GSP and Bisping for...
In November.
Madison Square Garden. I believe it's now either official or soon to be official.
I think they're going
to
announce it within the next week or so, yeah.
Woodley now has lost that fight, which I find very ironic because George St. Pierre definitely was a fighter that when he was champion, played it safe to keep the title. When he wasn't champion, I felt he took more risks to win the title.
Yep. And you know what? That's... Like, he's very, again, much like Floyd Mayweather, very defensive fighting. He fights to win and retain, not to, you know, knock out.
Well, I mean, the thing I believe that bugs me about Woodley was that he actually had a couple opportunities in that first round to finish the fight and just never acted on it. And there I just didn't see that fighter really wanting to put a stamp on a legacy that can follow him. Now his legacy is going to become the guy that just fights to win, not fights, you know.
With passion, per se?
Yeah, well, I mean, it could appear that way, for sure. But, I mean, let's not say anything. It's kind of stupid to not want a fight to win. Everybody does want to win. But he wants a fight to win in the safest way possible. I don't think he wants to have those drop down, you know, drag him to the dirt kind of wars.
Yeah.
Like, say, like the Forrest Griffins or the Stephen Bonners like to have back in their day, or like maybe the Clay Guidas or Diego Sanchez.
The Robbie Lawler?
Well, I mean, Robbie Lawler is just, the guy is just a beauty.
He also won his fight that night.
I mean, of course he did.
Of course.
He's one of the last old school guys still going.
He's a little bit of all right.
I mean, Robbie Lawler. You a good guy.
Yeah. If you're looking for a change of pace or just a little bit of something on your off time, give us a call.
Yeah. Well, you can be the professional bodyguard of Tech Struggle.
Exactly.
Because we're scared of you.
Terrified. In a good way.
Yeah. But we're fans.
Oh, yeah.
We're fans. Oh, yeah. Speaking of scary fighters, man, John Jones looked good.
Yes, he did.
He looked really good.
He looked almost coked out good.
He looked like he has all of his forms and techniques back to where they needed to be.
Yeah.
He looks very, very dominant again. I believe if he fights Brock Lesnar, he has a great chance of beating Brock Lesnar.
That'll be one that I'll actually go out of my way to tune in for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar, I think, needs to use his power and use his force. I don't think he's going to be able to use his speed in this fight. I think he needs to use his power. I think he needs to use his wrestling. John Jones already said that he would not try to out-wrestle Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
But the one thing John Jones has is those lengthy arms. So
gangly appendages.
His precision. So his elbows, his punches, his kicks.
His kicks are devastating. Yeah.
And, man, if you can knock out Lesnar with that dome, you're a good, tough beast.
But on the same point, you might break your leg, kind of like Anderson Silva, if you try to kick him too hard.
Well, no, Anderson Silva never broke his leg because he kicked the guy. Didn't he block it? He broke his leg because Weidman blocked it, and the way he blocked it is, you can really, that's a way you can hurt someone. There's actually a science to that, and that's scary. Knowing that you can throw a kick, it can get blocked, and you can actually do damage to yourself. That's why leg kicks really have to be...
precision?
Not just precision in terms of where you shouldn't, but when you do, well, when you throw them. That's why you see a lot of them are to, like, you know, the thighs or to even the stomach, not towards, like, knees and stuff like that, or shins. And
point is, I mean, with Brock Lesnar's giant dome, it could definitely happen.
Oh, yeah. Try to knock that dick off his chest.
Ain't gonna happen. You're gonna break your leg on his dick.
I mean, who knows?
Now, with two UFC 214 out of the way, we can look ahead to UFC 215.
Yeah.
Or as I like to call it, UFC 215. Where the fuck is Sheldon Westcott?
No kidding, right? One Edmonton-born fighter on the UFC
roster?
Yeah. And you don't put him on UFC Edmonton.
He has nothing to do. He hasn't fought in a while. He's ready to go. And you're not using him.
Come on, Dana. I mean, if you truly did the Vince McMahon model, you'd book him and have him drop out to some, like, no-name guy.
Yeah.
Because it's in his hometown, and that's what Vince likes to do. He likes to make people lose in their hometowns.
A la Bailey, or pretty much anybody for a title.
AJ.
Yeah, that guy.
He lost in his hometown. Bailey did, Sasha did, Charlotte did.
Yeah, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, the list goes on. But, no, I mean, Sheldon Westcott, I mean, don't understand why this guy's not on UFC 215.
No idea.
Makes no sense. I mean, I've personally have talked to him and told him, dude, making the official after party of UFC featuring you. You gotta pro wrestle this one up here. I mean, UFC 215 Edmonton, you know it's gonna be a success.
You have an actual UFC guy host an after party at an event. You put your name in, boom. Yeah. You get people showing up. Absolutely.
But I mean, at the same time, it's going to be a success in Edmonton.
Oh yeah.
This first show, you know it. You know they're gonna want to come back, and when they want to come back, boom. This time, Sheldon. I told Sheldon, I'm like, own the city. Own it for that night, so by the time UFC comes back, they remember that that's Sheldon Westcott's city, and they want to push Sheldon Westcott on that card.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, Sheldon, man, if you're listening, own the city. We behind you, man.
Oh, yeah. We can have a Sheldon Westcott tag struggle party.
Right?
Yeah. Yes.
Anything from a Woodland Warrior, man.
Exactly.
Yeah, man. We go way back.
Little directional throw out there.
Yeah, hey, I've known the guy since I was a young lad. He's a good kid. Really good fighter.
Very good fighter.
Definitely deserves to be on UFC 215. Dana White, get your head out of your ass here.
Your giant red head out of your giant dumb ass.
Stop sucking McGregor's cock here and put Sheldon Westcott on the card.
Yeah, exactly. Now, speaking of McGregor, apparently Vegas... I'm
glad you're going there.
Yes. Speaking of sucking McGregor's dick...
Yeah.
apparently...
Give me your belt.
I have no idea if it's still this way, but last I checked, Vegas actually has McGregor winning this fight coming up.
I wonder if they're just doing that to see how many people will bite.
Apparently a lot have.
Well, I still believe that if McGregor does somehow win that fight...
It'll be within four rounds. It'll be right away.
What damage do you think that would do to boxing? Like, when you really look at it, the fact that the biggest boxing fight right now involves someone from the MMA world.
And a guy who's officially retired?
Yeah, and I truly believe Mayweather's only taking the fight for two reasons. One, because it's the last big money fight, and two, because he can be 50-0.
Yeah.
Now, a huge asterisk to this 50, if he does.
I wouldn't say huge, but definitely an
asterisk. Well, he's not really fighting a true pro boxer, though.
No.
So, but at the same time, it's... If this guy who's been retired is your only form of true money-making match for boxing, and he loses, what does that do for the future of boxing?
Well, I personally know there is one other boxer I do actually keep my eye out for, and that's Lomachenko. I can't remember what Eastern European country he's from, but he looks just as good, if not better, than Mayweather.
But what's his draw in the overhead?
That's the thing. He doesn't really have it. He's not big enough yet. That's the problem. But I personally just love watching him knock guys clean the hell out.
Yeah. But, it's all said and good that if the guy is a really good fighter, but if he doesn't have that drawing power, it doesn't help the state of a sport.
No.
And that's my thing. It's like, MMA, I think, no matter what, it succeeds. I honestly believe UFC wins in this fight, regardless if McGregor wins or loses.
Do you think he comes back to UFC after?
Yeah, because I think he still holds one of the titles. Technically two, but
yeah.
He's going to be defending the one. I believe that there's going to be a plethora of people wanting to fight him. So... I think he does. I think he still has stuff to prove in MMA, but I believe that this was just one of those things he could not pass up.
No, I don't blame him.
And
it's going to be a huge money
This fight with Floyd Mayweather truly puts Conor McGregor in a negotiation stage that no one else can even touch. I don't think Ronda Rousey is even close.
She would have been the closest up until this point.
Had she stayed undefeated.
Yes, absolutely.
I do believe that. I do believe that one loss for Ronda Rousey truly took her away from the mystique of being...
That too, and being in too many movies, and just, I think she took herself out of it too much.
But, I don't think it's necessarily the movies. I don't think it's necessarily doing everything else, because we've seen other people do that and just be fine, and I don't think Ronda Rousey mentally... did anything that affected her. I think a lot of it was that she fought the one person, Holly Holm, that was the worst possible situation. You found someone who knew how to counter the game that Ronda fights. Judo's not going to win every fight for you. So a kickboxer like Holly Holm was, that was pretty much a bad matchup for Ronda Rousey. One that she 100% looked into and wanted.
Yeah.
But I just thought that was not a good matchup for Ronda. And, I thought that could have been the fight. I didn't think it. I don't think anybody expects it. It's like when you watched Anderson Silva. I mean, you always pay to see him either knock someone out, but, secretly, you kind of wanted to see who's going to beat him.
Yeah.
So when Chris Weidman actually beat him, it was pretty shocking.
That is true.
We can even go back to WrestleMania 30. everyone's like, well, you know, this guy should break the streak, that guy should break the streak. But when Brock Lesnar actually broke the streak, everyone just looked out in shock.
Yeah.
And it was just a sight to see. So, it'll be very interesting. I really want to see how this fight plays out. Like, I'm gonna watch some Floyd Mayweather.
Are you going to be able to?
I don't think I will be. I think we have Pure Power Wrestling.
Pure Power Wrestling has been moved to the 26th of August.
Dicks.
I'm not going to Pure Power Wrestling, but I don't think I'll be able to either. I've got something planned. Mm-hmm. Something in the works.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll see the fight somehow.
Exactly.
But yeah. So,
no. Anyways, that's all I have for MMA. Real quick, basketball. Court Club Elite, which apparently has basically all the referees and whatnot for Adidas. And they basically supply a ton of referees for games and stuff. Has severed ties with Adidas because LeVar Ball refused to continue a game that had a female referee. Yeah. And Adidas actually went and got a male referee to help finish that game. Because, well, sexism, everyone. Sexism. This guy is a piece of work. And a piece of shit.
Now, my thing is, has anybody watched this game?
No.
Now, here's my counter thing. I'm going to play devil's advocate here. As much as we all like to hate on this guy, was he actually wrong in this scenario?
Well, I didn't watch this, so I don't know.
But that's my thing. I mean, if anybody truly has seen it, or they want to post us a clip, or if they, you know, that even exists, let us know. Because I actually want to see if what he actually did, like, if his reason for being upset was in the wrong. Maybe a lot of us think that, you know, his action went overboard, but
I think it went overboard in the sense that because this referee who happened to be a female was calling the game the way he didn't like, he refused to play unless he got a male referee because women don't know but how to ref.
Did he actually say that?
Yeah.
Okay. I see. Yeah. I don't know this story that well.
He threw out some pretty, like, terrible sexual things. Like, not sexual.
Well, you know what? I don't regard that, because when we saw him on Monday Night Raw, he was all over the map.
Oh yeah.
He took his shirt off for no reason.
Yeah. He's also convinced he could beat Michael Jordan 1-on-1.
He's probably living in the pool of delusion.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, that's all I want to say about that. The guy's a knob. Don't like him. Fuck him.
I wonder if he's secretly Dana Carlson, and like that's why, like, because he thinks Jack Pryor can actually beat me.
They do strike a very striking resemblance in the way they say stuff, and you never see them at the same place at the same time.
I'm just saying.
Just saying. It is possible.
Honey. So.
It is very possible.
One thing I want to pop up.
Okay.
It's not very often I bring up the Canadian Football League.
CFL.
Not very often. But the Edmonton Eskimos.
Doing pretty well.
5-0. But their last win, which was kind of decisive.
Yeah, it was at least 12 points.
Yeah, not as decisive as Calgary over Hamilton.
Yeah, was it 49 or
60-1?
60-1.
Yeah. But
in the league where you can get points for basically doing anything, they got 1 point. That's impressive.
You couldn't even mess up a field goal twice.
Yeah.
That's how bad you were. Yeah. However, staying with the Eskimos, they actually finished a game without a long snapper and a kicker. And still won.
It's impressive. They have at least half a dozen to a dozen players on the starting roster hurt.
I believe they have like 11 injuries, and 8 of them or 9 of them are starters.
That's, and the fact that they're still 5-0, that is impressive.
And here's the funny thing. It's still week 6, and going into week 7 now in of the CFL season.
Yeah.
They
should be playing in a couple days, actually.
Yeah.
Friday.
But, you know, people are going to get hurt coming up in the next few weeks. I mean, that's just, you know, yeah, the wear and tear of a season. They're about maybe like 4 or 5 games from, like, people kind of, you know, maybe needing like a game here, a game there to kind of rest up.
Yeah.
They're going to get all these guys back, and they're just not guys. They're starting players.
Yeah.
So all these secondary players that are playing top line are going to be, you know, good. And they put in the reps.
And they get to rest.
This could be a very scary sign. Not to mention NFL, like the roster, has not been set yet. So once we find out who makes the NFL clubs and which players don't, which means you can see guys return back to their CFL clubs.
Yep.
On top of that, I mean, that could just land as scary, like a Darrell Walker.
Yeah.
Could be coming back to the Eskimos. Just imagine what that will bring to that team when they have, you know, the Adarius Bowman, who didn't play last game.
No, he's been injured. He's supposed to be coming back in a couple.
Yeah, and they just have guys stepping up.
I mean, oh, yeah.
That Zylstra guy is just amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, doesn't even have 12 starts, and man, that guy's averaging, I believe, 7 catches a game. Not even just throws, but catches.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty impressive.
I'm most impressed with this Mike Riley guy. Never heard of him, but he's doing quite well, you know? And this is his first season ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He never won a Grey Cup 2 years ago.
No. Not once, no. But on a serious note, Jason Moss has to be pretty happy with how his team's doing, even with all these injuries and that.
Well, I mean, it just shows a lot about their depth and their character as a team. And I think that, you know, if they have this in a few weeks, say 4 or 5 weeks, this team could be very scary.
Yep. I said at the start of the season, this could potentially be a team that goes all the way again.
Well, I mean, it's hard.
If you look at history, they're actually due this year.
Yeah.
Knock on wood. I'm knocking on a lot of wood right now, including my boner. But in theory, if you look at the history of them winning, they are due this
year. Maniac, that's not your boner.
Oh, well, I'm knocking on Parrish's boner. Point is, they are due this year.
That's also not so, my boner.
Oh, hello. So if it happens, you heard it here first. If it doesn't happen, well, it's
The third man?
That's Jack Pride's fault, then.
Could be Ryback. He's everywhere.
That's true. Oh. Speaking of which, not Ryback, but Jack Pride, he finally bought me my beer. It's about damn time. I finally got my beer.
That's how much we beat him up. He was delusion.
Yeah, and he finally
just like his dad.
He finally paid up for being a Leaf fan.
Well, he's an idiot for being a Leaf fan.
Like 4 or 5 months ago, minimum, that he owes me that drink from. Finally paid up. I had to go down there, make a special trip, surprise and attack, just to get my damn beer. That's all it was, one pint. Son of a bitch.
Maybe that's what happens when you lose to Skylar Paris often.
Apparently.
So.
Also, football in the NFL, Ben Roethlisberger is considering retirement due to CTE.
Well, I mean,
he hasn't actually made his mind up yet whether he's going to play this season or not.
So you're telling me Ben Roethlisberger gets hit a lot?
Apparently. I don't know this for a fact, but allegedly.
That's news to me.
Is it?
That's like saying, you know, Tom Brady is due for winning a championship because
He hasn't got one lately, has he?
Yeah, I don't think so. Or, you know, like Drew Brees might throw for a few touchdowns this season. Apparently he's a throwing quarterback. Who knew?
You know, he strikes me as more of a Carolina guy that, you know, runs everything.
And then complains when he gets hurt.
Yeah, yeah. Baseball now, shall we?
Could dab on that. But yeah, it's baseball.
I want to start off with something hilarious. Something that just happened recently with the Chicago Cubs. They finally gave Steve Bartman...
Oh, I heard about this, yeah.
...by getting him a World Series championship ring.
Now, here's my take on this. I was actually listening to my buddy Mark Michaud, and he was saying that he doesn't understand why they needed to make this a PR stint. He found that a little unnecessary. And here's my... here's my kind of response on that, because I slightly agree with him, but I believe Steve Bartman got his life completely ruined from a foul ball incident.
Which, when you're at the game and you see a ball coming, you want to catch it. It doesn't matter what time it is, whatever it is, you want to catch it because it's a souvenir.
If anybody's seen the 30 for 30 that's based on that incident, it's fantastic. If you haven't, go watch it. It's an amazing insight to that scenario and that incident.
Not to mention, though, he wasn't the only one reaching for it.
No!
There was a good 5-6 people there trying to get it.
Yeah.
So, any one of their lives could have been ruined.
But, and like, here's the thing. Like, his life literally was ruined.
Shit.
It was ruined.
Yes. And this is back in 2003.
Because of this incident. That statistically, when you look at it, wasn't his fault.
No. And the bad thing is that since 2003, he hasn't been back to a game. He's a die-hard fan who has never been back.
Yeah, and
that would be absolutely crushing.
My belief is that Chicago Cubs, when they finally won this World Series, and they presented Bartman with that ring. I believe this should close the door on any ill will towards Steve Bartman.
This is bygones are bygones. Let's move on.
You know what? If you were going to do that, bring him onto the field for, you know, a first pitch.
Well, the season hasn't started yet. I mean,
no, yeah, we haven't passed the All-Star game or the home run derby.
As soon as we get to the start of the season, just bring him. Oh wait, we're less than 50 games now. I think.
Well, and the Cubs suck right now too.
But still, when they did the presentation at the start of the year, they should have. Unless they just didn't think about it, and they're like, oh, by the way.
Well, I mean,
like it does. The only thing I don't understand is the timing. Like, why suddenly now?
Well, they just got the rings now.
Okay, well then, fair enough.
Have you seen championship rings?
They're insane.
Yeah,
they're worth more than both our vehicles.
And they make like 60 or 70 of these for baseball teams.
Yeah. It's insane. Absolutely.
It's truly insane.
It's also a little bit of art. They look nice.
No.
It's cool what they did, and hopefully he's going to be able to actually start to go to games. That would be nice.
Well, my thing is, I just hope people let him be from here on out.
Yeah.
But my thing is, again, did the Cubs really need to make this a PR stint, or could they have just done this secretly? I don't think the attention, like, I don't think more people needed to be aware of the Steve Bartman case. That's what I was just trying to say.
Well, maybe because they're going through a slump right now, maybe they wanted something to take people's minds off.
Well, because when you think about it, how many people don't actually know about the thing?
Now? I mean, that was, you know, 14 years ago? I don't think hardcore fans would forget, but I think a lot of casual fans or younger fans
I mean. I mean, how many, you know, say 13, 14-year-old kids are like, just don't understand.
Yeah.
I mean, we could talk. I mean, it's like asking everyone's like, "Well, why is Connor McDavid so mad about the NHL players not being in the Olympics?" Well, take into account that when he was 1 year old is when the NHL participation started the Olympics.
So he's never known it not to happen.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So some people are just, you know what? I just don't understand why you needed to bring it up. Why you needed to continuously revolve around back this incident. It's like, this was probably the worst moment of Steve Bartman's life.
Oh, I'd say so. Yep.
Easily.
And not just his life, his family. His family was almost as bad.
And you're continuously just bringing this attention around it.
So hopefully this will put it to rest for good.
I hope so. I mean, because
as much as we like to make fun of people who do stupid things, this is just, he's a victim of circumstance.
Yeah.
But anyways, moving on to Adrian Beltran, ejected from a game because he moved the on-deck circle 10 feet. The ump was apparently having a shitty game, didn't like what he was doing, told him to get into the on-deck circle. So Beltran, being the funny guy he is, just moves it 10 feet and then gets ejected. And the best part is, a couple games later, he reaches 3,000 career hits. I do find that pretty funny.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Yes, congratulations indeed. But I do think it's funny. I love the fact that he was basically just sticking it right to that guy, because from what I've heard, that umpire was getting shit all over because I guess he was just calling a horrible game in general. So he's just having a bad game.
Umpires seem to be the most miserable people in a baseball game.
I agree.
I mean,
you know who the happiest are? Us, because we're drinking.
You know what they need? They need like a Bobby Boucher.
Yes.
To just go out there and give him a drink of water, just like he did to that referee. Made his day.
A little bit of high quality H2O.
Yeah. It's clean.
Exactly.
It's cool.
And then from there,
come on, Bobby, get these umpires some water. That or a Snickers, because I swear that they're just
they're not them when they're hungry.
Exactly. Right?
From there we go to the Blue Jays, who are making a couple trades.
Well, they had to do something. They are
the one that was a little awful. Surprising was they traded Lariano to the Astros for Nori Aoki and
that Hernandez, right?
Yes, and Hernandez. Which, I thought Lariano was kind of like a fan favorite that they wanted to keep. But yeah. I don't know baseball as well as I probably should.
He wasn't having a great season by any means. But I honestly think, I think they wanted to work on their farm. And they wanted to work on their prospects and get them going. So, the surprising thing is they didn't move Donaldson. They didn't move Bautista. They didn't move any of the big names.
Yeah.
They moved some of the guys that they didn't expect to stay with the organization. So, They didn't do much.
The other thing they did do is they traded a guy named Joe Smith, who I have until this day never heard of. I believe he's a pitcher.
Yep.
To the Cleveland Indians for Thomas Pannone and Samad Taylor.
Which I believe are outfielders.
Actually, I think Samad Taylor's a pitcher. He might be a left-handed instead of a right-handed.
So I know they got some outfielders in the prospects. And I think that's kind of what they wanted to do. And just... Because I believe that Guerrero's kid is probably going to get called up.
Yeah.
Either this year or next year some point. So I think now it's going to be a... All right, let's showcase some of these guys and see what we have for next year. Kind of like what the Yankees at this time did last year when a certain Mr. Judge kind of came into play. I mean, there's
never heard of the 99 guy who was just kicking ass at everything.
Yeah, so, sometimes you got to just give him a shot and see what happens. So,
yeah.
I think the Blue Jays know that they're not going to make any damage this year, so let's see what we got.
Well, speaking of damage, got a certain guy named Steven Pierce who had 2 walk-off grand slams in 4 games.
Four days.
4 days, sorry.
So,
that's a little bit of all right.
Pilar's like, it's like winning the lottery. Okay, Juan Pilar, I'm going to say no, it's not. I'd rather win the lottery.
Yeah, they get paid like they win the lottery, though.
Yeah. I'd rather win the lottery twice.
That's very true. 50 million twice. Then, 100 million?
Then hit 2 grand slams on games that truly don't matter.
Yeah. The one game was pretty impressive, though. They were down pretty badly and ended up coming back and winning it. But at that point, they should not be down that much.
But what does it all mean, Basil?
I don't know. Are they even close to 500 again or no?
I don't know.
You know what? Let's look that up right now.
I've lost count. I believe that they're probably, like, what, maybe 7, 8, 9 games under?
Last I checked, they were, I think, 9.
So.
Toronto Blue Jays, their record right now is 50-57. And they just won tonight against the White Sox.
So 7 games.
So they're still 7 games back. 1 step forward, 2 steps back. Classic Blue Jays.
Classic McGruber.
Yeah. Reminds me of the times I used to go and watch them play and they lost to everyone. Literally everyone.
That was like, what, 4 years ago?
Oh, no. I've been out here for 5 years. I think last time I went to see them was 2011. I think Carlos Delgado was still on the team. It was a while ago.
I think Pat Hankin was pitching.
All I know is that I was more excited for the free peanuts than the actual watching of the game. So...
Free nuts!
Exactly. Get your free nuts! Speaking of free nuts, switching to hockey, Ovechkin apparently might be in talks with Montreal again. It might be a thing.
I don't know if Montreal has a cap.
Apparently they do, according to
it depends
TSN.
On...
I think Bob McKenzie was saying it. Apparently they have the cap space and they need a dominant guy up front. I guess they might be actually looking into him again.
Montreal needs a lot of things.
They do need a lot of things.
Washington needs a lot of things.
Yes, they do. But, I mean, that could apparently be a thing.
I can see Galchenyuk being on that.
Oh, I think he'd have to be, yeah. I don't know. What would you have to give up to get an Ovechkin, though? Like, you're going to have to give up several key things. Well, first-round pick.
Montreal can't give up any prospect D-men. They already got rid of all of those.
Literally all of them.
Yeah.
Also, did you know that Ryan Miller is part of the Ducks now?
Yeah.
Did I miss that at some point?
I don't think we cared.
I suddenly saw it. I'm like, huh.
Does it really
remember that happening. Some key signings. Ryan Johansson re-signed an 8-year, $64 million deal.
Highest contract given out to a National Predator.
Yes. Connor Sheary re-signs 3-year, $9 million deal.
Yeah.
Nino Niederreiter avoids arbitration and re-signs 5-year, $26.25 million deal. And, speaking of Montreal Canadiens, they did not re-sign Andrei Markov, and he's heading back to Russia.
Yep, with that AK bars for 2 years.
Which is really surprising, because you think they need defense. And although he's not as good as he once was, you think you need the experience.
You know why some guys probably aren't re-signing in the NHL this year?
Because of the Olympics. Yeah, absolutely. I get that. But he said he wanted to, but apparently Montreal denied it.
One, this is my thing. After Price got paid for what he did... Do they honestly have a lot of cap nowadays?
Well, if they're going to go after someone like an Ovechkin, maybe they don't.
Because they spent a lot of money on Drouin.
Oh, yeah.
They spent a lot of money on Galchenyuk.
Yep.
So, and then they spent a lot more money on on price and keeping him aboard.
Which apparently the price was right.
Well, I mean, when you have one of the best goalies in hockey, you have to keep him.
Yeah. So that is very true. Staying with that, the captain, Max Pacioretty, had his house broken into and stuff stolen.
Well, if he played any solid defense, that could have been easily prevented.
Yes. Also in the signings, Tortorella signs a one-year extension on his contract. Mm-hmm. Didn't say for what it's worth. Also, the Hawks signed goalie Colin Delia, which I know the name, but I can't remember why.
Staying with Minnesota, Michael Granlin. Big contract.
Oh, yes?
$5.75 million.
Ah, there we go.
The one thing I want to talk about, we have some notable guys who still haven't signed.
Jaromir Jagr.
Jerome Iginla.
And
Shane Doan. And those two guys, and Iginla and Doan, have been contacted by Hockey Canada. And apparently, Doan could be offered the captaincy.
That would be sweet.
So, that's an interesting thing. Yeah. Also, staying with Boston, David Pastrnak. No contract yet.
Really? That's shocking.
And here's another bring on. Edmonton Oilers. Nothing yet for Leon Draisaitl.
He's back in Germany. I don't think he's going back.
Yeah.
He done. He gone.
So.
Do you want to hear something else very shocking?
Yes.
Everyone remembers the time-honored and amazing Disney movie, The Mighty Ducks. Well, a certain goalie named Goldberg just got sentenced to 150 days in jail for stealing, and I quote, $151 worth of electronics. He basically stole a really shitty iPad, and now he's in jail for almost, well, basically a third of a year.
Goldberg!
It wasn't me!
And I just pulled it up. Montreal still has $8.462 million in space. So actually, that is not enough for Ovechkin's cap.
Oh. Well, maybe depending on who they got rid of, it might be.
I mean, because right now, when you look at it, we got... Because who were we talking about? We're talking about Galchenyuk.
Yes.
Who is making 4.9.
So if you traded him, a number one draft pick, you'd have to trade at least one or two. At least one or two.
Because I believe Ovechkin is making 12, 13.
That's probably not surprising if that was the case.
I believe he has one of the highest cap hits in the league.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be pulling it up quite shortly here. And he's actually making this year 9.5.
So if you got rid of Galchenyuk, most likely, plus at least one or two...
You'd have to move somebody who has a couple mil.
Yeah.
Because
that's the thing. It is doable.
You do want to have some cap flexibility.
Yeah, oh, of course. So. And that way you don't get dinged like we found out those 10 teams did for after the at the end of the year. Also, Stars are going to host the 2018 draft.
Yeah, I don't know if I like that idea. Why Dallas?
I don't know. Where's the All-Star game going to be this year?
Good question.
I know that they announced it. I just can't remember where. Whatever. Anyways, we'll find that out.
It'll later. Come back.
Yeah. Now here's a question. I have a picture here that I want to show you, and it's listing the top trios in all of hockey next year, and it's asking, who do you think will be the number one trio in 2017-2018? We have...
It's also Tampa Bay hosting the 2018 All-Star game.
Oh, I knew that, yeah. So the top trios of 2018, they have
eight teams. I'm just kidding. Go on.
And of the eight three-man teams, you have Crosby, Malkin, Kessel, Bergeron, Marchand, and Pastrnak, assuming he signs. Ovechkin, Backstrom, Kuznetsov.
That could be changed.
McDavid, Draisaitl, Lucic. Assuming that he signs. Matthews, Marner, and Nylander. Kane, Taves, Saad, Scheifele, Wheeler, and Laine, or other. In your opinion, who is the strongest trio in the NHL if these were the set lines going in?
I got to go with the first one, Malkin, Crosby, and
Kessel?
Yeah, because...
I mean, it's hard to argue. Two cups in a row where they're dominant both years.
Back-to-back champions. It's hard to say otherwise until you oversee them. Now, a lot can be said about Kane, Taze, and Sot, but here's another thing. Sot has been away from Chicago. He's a different player now.
Yes.
He might not have the same chemistry with these players that he once did.
I am hoping to God you're wrong.
Well, obviously.
But you do bring up a good point. I mean, he has learned and been taught things a different way.
He might have taken more of a step-up approach and try to be the guy in Columbus.
Yep.
So now he might be wanting to, you know, drive a line a little bit more than he did when he started playing, because he was a rookie when he won that first cup.
Yep.
So, you're going to do anything a Jonathan Taze or Patrick Kane tells you in that first year.
Oh, yeah.
They know a couple things about the game.
They know a thing or two about a thing or two.
I think in due time, the Toronto one is going to be very scary to play against. My thing, does Nylander eventually stay in Toronto moving forward? I'm hearing that his name has popped up a lot more often.
Is that so?
In trade... Well, I mean, because Toronto's eventually going to need a D-man.
Yeah. Well, they have Morgan Rielly, but they need someone to help them out.
But, I mean, that's my point. So is it going to be a Van Riemsdyk, or could it be a Nylander? Nylander might actually bring you a bigger return because of youth.
Absolutely.
So he might be the odd man out there. I think the one in Edmonton is definitely a very valuable option as well, because you have the top scorer in the NHL in Connor McDavid. You have a top 10 player in Leon Draisaitl. And the reason why these guys have
all the space
is because you have Milan Lucic, who's not the player a lot of these guys are.
No, well, he gets more physical to give them the space they need.
But, I mean, that's the thing. It's a complimentary player.
Now, seeing as we both pretty much agreed that Crosby, Malkin, Kessel is the line going into next or this season, what do you think they would stack up against a Lemieux, Yager, Stevens line? Who do you think would be better? I mean, I know the game's completely different.
Oh, to me, it's no-brainer. It's Crosby, Kessel, and Malkin.
Do you think so?
I believe that Sidney Crosby might actually, when it goes down, might be one of the best players ever in NHL. Because when you look at what he does in today's game, I very much highly don't... I won't say that guys like Lemieux and Gretzky wouldn't put up the high-quality numbers in this game.
I don't think
they... But they're not going to put up what they put up in their era in this era.
No.
But they're still, like, great players find a way to be great players no matter what time.
I think, actually, Lemieux would be a lot closer to Gretzky if they both played now. Because he's a big guy.
Yeah,
Gretzky's an average height. I mean, I think he'd still do well. I don't think he'd have 2,000 assists.
No.
But, I mean, I think Lemieux, again, assuming he stayed healthy, I think he'd do way better.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Not a lot of people got 200 points in a season.
Back then, several people a year were doing it.
I mean, and Gretzky did this multiple times. He got 100 and... Didn't he get 92 goals and 100 and some assists in 1 year?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's quite disgusting on some of the things he did. I mean, hell, nobody's even come close to the 50 and 39.
No. Closest, I think, was recent memory. I think it was Steven Stamkos who got 50 in, like, 48.
I don't even know if it's...
And that's, like, 2011? 2012?
I don't even think he did in that short a time.
He might not have. But I remember, like...
I mean, Bossy did it in 50.
Yeah.
Some guys did it in 50 and 40-some. I forget the guy. I forget the actual number. But some guy did it in, like, 50 goals in 40-some games. But it wasn't consistent, like, consecutive games.
Yeah.
So he played, like, 30-some, missed a couple, and then... So, I mean, really...
Yeah. I don't know if you could, that's kind of like a technicality.
Right. And that's kind of the unfortunate thing there.
Yeah.
So.
Staying with hockey, last thing I have is... You're the... say you're Sean Burke. You're the one going to be running this team.
Oh, God.
And you have a chance to get five players and a goalie from any point in Canadian hockey history. Who is playing with who on what line?
I get to pick...
Basically, pick a starting lineup for Team Canada.
Of any era?
Any era.
Ooh. Okay, well, I'll pick, for my defenseman, I'll pick Bobby Orr with Drew Doughty.
Okay.
My goalie is Pat Waugh.
Okay.
My forwards are Sidney Crosby, Wayne Gretzky, Mario Lemieux.
That's pretty good. That's not too shabby. Yeah, I don't know. I was thinking about it, thinking of throwing in like a Jean Beliveau or something like
well,
that.
Well, I mean, that's what I mean, thing. I mean, you put it down. I mean, I'll have Jean Beliveau.
Like a second line starter?
As a second line player. Yeah. I'll have Martin Brodeur as my backup goalie.
Ed Belfour as a third.
No, my third would be Carey Price.
Yeah.
But I mean, guys like Connor McDavid and Mark Messier would be on my second line.
With Beliveau. That'd be a nice line.
So, I mean.
Now, is there any other, if we kept this exactly the same, you can make another team from anyone in history, what other team would you want to make?
You know, Russia has a lot of great players. Sweden has a lot of great players.
I think teams that would surprise you would be like the Czech team. Because, I mean, 98, they were crazy good.
Well, I mean, if I go with the Swedes, I mean, you think, you go Henrik Lundqvist as your goalie. Yeah. You'd have Niklas Lidström, who...
Erik Karlsson.
Yeah, as your number one D pairing. And then some of the players, you could have Peter Forsberg on that.
Yep. Second Koivu. No, I think I'd have him as a second.
Koivu's Finnish.
They're all the same over there. Same flag.
Completely different country.
Same flag, different colors. That's all it is.
But I mean, and then you
Matt
could...
Sundin?
You could have Sundin. You could have the Sundin twins.
Would you have Naslund? More top line.
Another guy.
Yeah.
I mean, you're getting a lot of centers.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but Nicholas Backstrom.
Yeah.
That guy knows how to set up a goal or two.
That's true.
But there's a lot of players there. I mean, even if you go Finnish, you have Jari Kurri.
Yeah. Saku Miku.
There you go. You can finally put a Koivu in there.
Or two.
Yeah. I mean, do your thing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, with Russia, I mean, here you go. You can put Alexander Ovechkin on one side with Pavel Bure on the other. Have Alexander Mogilny on that team.
That'd be good, too.
I mean, there's just so many.
That's going to be a fast team.
Every country has had a history of great players. I mean, Germany now finally has a superstar.
Finally. But, although Slovakia's kind of hit and miss. I mean, they have enough players. I think they'd be a decent team, but I don't think they'd be able to do it.
Well, I mean, you don't want Martin Straka on your team. I would take him back
Miroslav
in his day.
Satan.
Yeah, it'd be. You know what? That's the thing. I mean, he played on the Devils, but he needed to be number six.
Yeah, I guess.
Just think, like, you put out the arms, you got six on one arm, six in the middle, six on the right arm, you got Satan on the back. And he played on the Devils. How great of a jersey is that?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, just saying.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
But if you don't want an NHL jersey to wear, you can always go to wantamaneuver.net.
Segway!
And you can buy yourself some vintage One World Empire gear or
OG struggle gear.
Exactly. And if you're a little bored, and you know what? Maybe your funds are a little bit tied up because you're too busy buying advance tickets for MPW this Saturday at the Alberta Ave.
Or maybe you're buying and eating 64 slices of American cheese.
Or, you know what? You simply just like Asian porn.
Yeah, you really shouldn't pay for that. But I mean, if you do, you teach their own.
And you know, you want something free to, you know, check up on. I mean, go to Google Play.
Or how about iTunes?
Or, you know, even the YouTube.
And, I mean, if you don't want to do that, you can always download and listen on Podbean.
Yeah. And you can go and download the Edmonton SPN and check out all 34 episodes of The Sounds of Struggle.
We're getting middle-aged.
I know, right?
We're getting there.
We're officially older than WrestleMania. We have more episodes of Sounds of Struggle now than WrestleMania.
Yep. Yep, we're getting up there. Starting to feel the aches and pains in the back. The gray hairs are sprouting. Yeah. And
yeah, I really felt that if the first one never went through, I mean, we may have never been able to do a second or a third. And now we just have this historic run.
I agree. Speaking of the runs... I don't have any, I just... Speaking of...
Yeah, it's a good thing. Because, you know, you're not the same when you got the runs.
Speaking of the runs, Curt Hawkins has lost 100 matches in a row, officially.
Woo! You keep going, boy! Run, Hawkins, run!
Do you think he does that on purpose?
No. I mean,
I think he enjoys losing. I really do. I think he's just happy to be there.
I mean, the one match he did have with Jason Jordan actually was pretty good.
Yeah, that's true.
He actually did make Jason Jordan look really good.
Yeah.
I did like the Grant Amplitude, but into a neck breaker.
Yep.
I mean,
that's pretty good.
So.
Let's go on wrestling here. I found out apparently The Rock and Austin used to bet each other how much he could oversell the stunner, and they'd bet cases of beer on it. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, I very much would like to, I mean, we're talking about guys that, you know, we don't want to hear on a podcast. The Rock, I definitely think, would be
The Rock on Austin's, or on Jericho's. One of the two would be really good.
Actually, even on Edge and Christian's.
That would also be
good. I am now putting over the Edge and Christian part
it's,
of Austin.
It's a little bit of all right.
Very good. And they're Canadian, so we got also.
Speaking of Canadians.
Speaking of Edge, did anybody notice the picture that he tweeted about when he tagged with Umaga?
I think Beth Phoenix tweeted first thing he tweeted. Yeah, hilarious.
Exactly.
Hysterical.
He pretty much puts the body paint on, but instead of Samoan on his stomach, he just writes Canada.
It's hilarious. It's a little bit of art.
Yeah.
But keeping with Canadians, Jericho apparently had a yelling match with a fan after... It wasn't a friend's funeral, but it was like...
It was a tribute show.
Yeah, it was a tribute show.
For
And, I mean, I totally get and sympathize with Jericho. I mean, you're going through a very emotional time, and the last thing you want is a bunch of people sticking their faces and stuff in your face, signing this, do that.
Well,
I get it.
There's a line that as a fan has to understand that you can cross when, okay, there's somebody that I really want to say... hi, I'm a big fan, or thank you for what you did, or, you know, just little things like that, but then there's a right way and there's a wrong way to go about it. Now, here's the one thing that I'll never fault a fan for. You have no idea what the guy just did.
Yeah, that's very true.
However, you know, if he doesn't kind of...
If you act
give you if you don't if he doesn't give you that first acknowledgement right away, don't be so defensive about it.
No,
because I mean they are people and they do have a lot of things to do and they're probably a lot busier than you are.
Oh yeah.
So just you know, give them their space too. I mean, how hard is that? I mean, be
it's
civil.
Really not.
Be civil.
Yeah, ask them. Be very polite and just ask. You know, if it's not too much trouble and if they are busy. But you're polite with them, they'll normally either, you know, quickly do it, or they'll say, you know, I got something to be, somewhere to do it, and then just leave it at that.
Especially a guy like Chris Jericho, who doesn't have a reputation of being a jackass.
Unless it's caused by a fan.
Yeah, he has a reputation of being one of the easiest and nicest guys out there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just think it's a sad case of a stupid idiot.
Agreed. Keeping with...
And stupid idiot fan, you just made the list!
Yeah! You bitch!
I officially put somebody on the list.
There you go. Speaking of which, certain someone else got put on a different list.
Oh?
Braun Strowman made Karen Jarrett's list. Did you hear about this?
Yeah, I just don't care because she's a cunt.
Well, I'm not saying you're wrong, but I do think it's funny that she wanted to get a signature for... Technically, her and Kurt Angle's son, and Strowman kind of just pushed her away, like, oh, yeah, screw you, I don't want to sign anything, blah, blah. And then she made Strowman, after she revealed who he was, or who she was, and who the
this
autograph
is also
was for.
All reportedly.
That's all, again, it's all reported. Almost everything here is reportedly, so you know what happened. But I guess she made Strowman get down on his knees and apologize in front of everyone.
I mean, everything I've heard about Braun Strowman outside of the ring, he is also a very nice person.
Yeah.
This is why I find this story kind of hard to completely believe. I do believe that...
I don't necessarily disbelieve it. I think Karen Jarrett's a very strong personality, so she might have been a bitch.
You know what? I said the same thing, kind of a different word. Kind of a more, you know, violent word.
Cunt.
Yeah.
But no, I think she just came out and was like, hey, sign this. And he's probably like, who the hell is this?
But I do find that if it's true, it's like, oh, you don't know who I am, I'm this person's ex-wife. And it's like, gay. That's a cunt move.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but like...
That really is.
I mean, who are you? Like, Renee Zellweger? Like, do you know who I am? Like, who does that?
Karen Jarrett, apparently. That's what Double J will get you.
Slop nuts.
Exactly. In keeping with...
What a Global Force Wrestling move.
Keeping with Global Force Wrestling, actually. I guess GFW is using old footage of Bobby Roode.
Well, they own it.
Well, that is true. It's just, it's very interesting that they're using old footage to try and get their TV off the ground.
Glorious.
Exactly.
Before he was glorious.
Before he was... Well, he was always kind of glorious, but
before he was glorious.
Before he was officially glorious. And they're also... GFW set three new show dates and then canceled one within, like, hours of setting those dates.
Yeah, probably because everyone's like, well, Bobby Roode's not going. I don't want to go.
Yeah. But I guess it was like they set the date on like a Tuesday of whatever, like for like a couple months in advance. And like on the Thursday, they're like, ah, we can't do that one date now. Sorry, it's, what was it? They put it listed as like logistical something. I don't know. It was stupid.
Yeah.
And also, keeping with, I guess, GFW fame, Braum is at it again, beating the shit out of people.
Good for him.
He, I guess, went to an indie show, and without being provoked or what anything like that, he pretty much face-fucked an indie guy with his fists and legs.
I like how you actually used that phrase.
Yes.
Like, it's not something you just wrote on your phone.
Face-fucked, yeah. I guess, apparently, according to a lot of fans, it turned into a shoot, and it was very uncomfortable to watch, and a lot of people wanted to leave after that. Because, I guess, he decided he wanted to do it.
Not really anything you can do to follow a good old-fashioned face fuck.
Just a money shot and go home, folks.
I mean, it's an eye-opening experience.
Especially to the receiver.
If you can open that eye.
Luckily, this time, it was a guy.
Well, you know, at least in the indies, they whatever you do to make a dollar, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
But
each their own.
Also, here's another... staying with GFW, Magnus and Brandi Rhodes officially no longer under contract with Global Force Wrestling.
Interesting. Yeah. You think we'll see Magnus in WWE because isn't he married to Mickie James?
Yeah. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised to see him in NXT.
Yeah.
I mean, we did see Gunnar. But yeah, he recently kind of... got his feet wet in the NXT, so I mean, who knows if Magnus goes there. Wouldn't be surprised if he joins the UK division.
That would be cool.
Just saying, it's a possibility.
That would be cool.
Good Aleister Black feud, possibly.
You can't really count him as UK, though, because he's from Amsterdam.
No, but he was part of the UK special.
Yeah.
It's that general area,
well,
too.
Well, yeah, I guess he was Tommy End then.
It was the Wales area. But I'm just saying, even on NXT, you'd have Aleister Black and, you know, a possible Magnus.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something that could help out.
That is very
Or true. Even Drew McIntyre.
Yeah.
Bobby Roode.
Speaking of NXT, apparently Michaels was filling in as a producer for their mini tour that they just had.
Yep.
That's pretty cool.
He's
good
been,
chance for them to learn.
He's been doing a lot of work with the NXT now.
Yeah.
And the Performance Center.
It's
kind
of nice, actually, to have something his stature.
Apparently, he sent out good praises, so.
Good. That's good stuff. The last thing I have before I have the last question of the show.
Yeah.
John Cena is going to star in a Transformers prequel about Bumblebee. My question is, who the fuck cares about Transformers still? Now, before you answer that...
I'll watch it!
No, before you answer that...
I already did. Pretty much.
Well, it happens, even to the best of us. The newest one that just came out already made 500-something million worldwide. I stopped caring about these movies so goddamn long ago, and yet they're still making tons of money. So, honestly, this is probably a great thing for John Cena.
I'm not going to lie. I'm going to watch The Last Transformers just because...
You know what? And to be fair, I did watch it when it came on Netflix.
I'm just not going to go out of my way to go to a theater, but I'll watch it when it's on the movie channel.
Netflix, movie channel, whatever. And you're right. I will probably do the same.
And I want to see how John Cena does.
He had that movie, The Wall, that just came out not too long ago, and that actually apparently was quite, like, highly touted for what he did.
So, I mean...
And actually, it looked all right, too.
Oh, I mean, but he's also in that... He's in the wrestling circle to the point where now, you know, if you're in the wrestling circle, you want to see...
You almost want to support them.
Well, I mean, it's almost... We all take a little bit of pride knowing that the best and most dominant actor in Hollywood is a pro wrestler.
Yes.
The United States of America president is in the WWE Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Celebrity wing, but in there.
So it counts.
Wrestlers are taking over.
Man.
At one point, a wrestler was UFC heavyweight champion.
Yep.
Just saying. We're taking over.
We're taking Uber.
Yeah.
We're taking Uber.
Hmm?
Yes. And the last question I want to leave with, which we can answer if you want, or we can leave for next week.
Whatever they have on special.
Okay. Should there be a WWE Hall of Fame building?
Yes.
If so, where?
Either New York or Connecticut.
What about down in Orlando?
Fuck Orlando.
Well, it's going to take some time, but I'll try.
Like the whole city.
The whole damn...
Well, no, here's the thing. The WWE, they're based out of Connecticut.
Yep, they're based out of
Stanford. So that's why.
Yep.
They own New York. Here's the set. No other wrestling promotion can put a show in Madison Square Garden. If you're not WWE, you cannot run a show in Madison Square Garden.
Yep, that's a pretty sweet clause they have.
Which means WWE, as wrestling, you own New York. Therefore, New York.
I think New York, it would do well. I also think if you put it somewhere near the Performance Center, I think it would do really well there. I just think it's kind of something to create extra revenue.
Yeah, but
everything they bring up for like...
Everything they have is in Connecticut already, though, isn't it?
That is true. So, no, you're very right.
And there's a lot of shit there.
I mean, if you look at WrestleMania Access Week or SummerSlam Access Week, which will be coming up, a lot of shit there that you could see every other day of the year. And it'd be like, you know, when they take the Stanley Cup out in the summertime, you take this stuff away for the big shows, you bring it back, and people can go look at it those weeks. You might have a dip in attendance in those weeks that, you know... There's SummerSlam.
Yeah, whatever. But you know what? If they have an actual
building, like kind of like the Hockey Hall of Fame,
if they have an actual building, I think a lot of this stuff at Access would lose its luster because you have a chance to go see it somewhere else. But at the same time, I think WWE now has. I mean, they can run NXT stuff. They can run all this different type of things.
You could always, and I mean, every year they unveil new things. At
Fozzy could play.
Exactly.
Mark Andrews' band could play.
Junior. Exactly.
I mean...
Now, my last thing is, should they, or if they do, do you think they should let other promotions in? I don't mean other promotions as, like, Ring of Honor now has a wing. I mean, like, when they're talking about, say Daniel Bryan gets in, former Ring of Honor champion, you know, because they have collaborations with Ring of Honor, other things when they do these big things, like Kevin Owens DB, it just came out. Do you incorporate that stuff, like some of the archive footage from those shows, and kind of give a thank you to them?
If you can work something out, yes. I don't see why they can't. I do believe that there should be a Wrestling Hall of Fame. I do believe that WWE is going to act as that one, because there are guys that have been included in their Hall of Fame, and they've never really worked. Yeah.
I mean, there is, as far as I know, there's one down in Texas that's like supposed to be a pro wrestling Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
I mean, which I'm sure we'll get into one day.
Huge in Texas.
Oh yes, we are huge in Texas, and I'm sure there's other ones like Mexico, wherever else. But I think WWE being the wrestling entity on the planet, I think it would do them well to have one.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, like I wouldn't be surprised if they eventually put one up in New York or even Connecticut. I think Connecticut, like Stamford, that area makes the most sense.
I mean, it's right there, yeah.
I mean, also, it gives Connecticut something to do. Just saying.
Yeah, I don't know what else there is in Connecticut to do.
Not a lot.
They had Hartford, didn't they, at one point?
The Whalers, yeah.
Maybe they can combine and be the WWE and Hartford Whaler Museum. Huh? Just have Gordie Howe stuff in there on one side, and then like some John Cena stuff on the other.
Yeah,
that'd be sweet. That'd be really sweet.
That'd be kind of weird.
It'd be really weird, but awesome.
And then on one side you have Chris Jericho, and then on the other side is his dad, because he played in the NHL.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't play for Hartford Whalers, but I'm sure you could have a picture that he played against them.
No, I could add some with Gordie Howe.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah, I don't know.
That'd be good. So that's what we got for the podcast. Anything you got?
No, I just want everyone to, again, pick up any tickets for MPW this Saturday, August 5, Alberta app. Bell time is 7:30.
Doors open 6:30.
We have $10 or $15 advance tickets, 20 at the door.
Yes.
Get your tickets now. Come, please. It's going to be a great show.
Cops off with Tag Struggle winning a ladder match.
Main event match is Tag Team TLC. You don't want to miss this.
Yes. Table, ladders, and chairs. Mm-hmm. Oh, my.
Mm-hmm. So
that, and then after that, we have King of the... Was it King of the Mountain?
King of the Mountain, August 12th.
And then you have PPW, August 26th.
26th, yeah.
So it's going to be a very full month.
And SummerSlam's August 20th. So it's an
action. 4 weekends in a row of wrestling.
Right?
It's going to be a good month.
My wife is going to get sick of me.
What do you mean, going to?
Well, I mean, it's ironic how she's going to get tired of me even though I'm not going to be home.
Well, I figured she's already sick of you.
Well, you know, women.
Yeah.
Can't live without them and they can't be standing up.
Yes. Yes, that's, well, I guess certainly true. Yeah, sure. And if you want to follow all of our hijinks and fun times on the road and everywhere else, you can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. I think my Grindr account's still open. I don't know, whatever else.
Anything on Twitter, Tinder is not us.
No, it's not.
But, yeah. But, yeah, no, come to the show.
Support.
Support local wrestling.
Especially us.
Yeah, we got bills to pay, man.
New merch coming out. This show.
Really?
Yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Good to know. Yeah. Anyway, that does it for episode 34 of The Sounds of Struggle. I'm Chris Parrish.
And from Nike, I am a Nike.
What?
Yeah.
Shut the front door.
I know.
And then Sean Martin, we don't forget you. You're alive and you're somewhere in Red Deer.
We miss you, buddy.
Yeah. But we are Tag Struggle.
We are real.
And we are spectacular. Little bitches.
What?
You know when your heart's pounding out of your chest, you can feel the thing shaking as you're running out of breath. If you're ready to rock.